It's round four of March Madness, the Snacks, and it's on right now. The most iconic snackies are ready to wage war to determine who's the GOAT. 8 yum-yums from Disney and Universal Parks from around the globe remain. Only one can be crowned champion. The finals from all four conferences, Disney East, Disney West, Disney International, and Universal USA. Call it insanity? No. Call it madness. Oh yeah, and our thoughts on some news too. All that and so much more on this week's episode of the We Like Theme Parks
podcast.
Oh, you're back.
Welcome back.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we proudly present a spectacular festival of theme park audio commentary magic, the We Like Theme Parks podcast.
Yo. Bring
you
back now.
Welcome, foolish mortal.
Welcome, my fellow theme parkers, to the We Like Theme Parks podcast, your go-to spot for news, opinions, and other nerdy fun happenings in and around the Disney and Universal theme parks. I'm Chris Bond, yo-ho! Today I'm joined by my co-hosts, Disney Bounder, theme park fashionista, repping the West Side, from the Churro Fund, it's Miriam Kenley. Miriam, what's happening, girl?
Not much. What's up with you?
You know, I'm excited to keep talking about snacks round four of six. Is it six? So that's a lot of snack talking. It's been a snack week. It's been really good. But hey, you must be pumped. This trip is imminent, right? In a week, you're gone, so?
2 weeks.
Oh my goodness. Oh, you must be.
It's been 2 weeks since you go to Disney.
And that, my friends, returning from his adventures in Hollywood, it's comedian Disnerd and the guy with the big star on his trailer. Welcome back, Mark Andrada.
Oh, hello.
Hello, big shooter. How was the shoot?
Yeah, it's good. It's still going. We've done a bunch of the stuff, but there's still more to shoot.
Oh, that's awesome. What can you tell us about it? Anything like you can...
I don't know what I'm allowed to say. I don't know what I'm allowed to say.
I don't know either. Yeah.
I could tell you about my character because I absolutely did an interview about this character already for the press kit or whatever.
Cool.
EPK.
EPK, baby. What they call it? Electronic press kit.
Electronic press kit. Yes. So my character is sort of the Watson to the lead character's Sherlock.
And is this played by Trevor Martin? Is the Sherlock?
Correct. And very I'm cool. Very dumb. I'm just very dumb and very excited to be everywhere.
That's awesome.
Pretty good.
Also, I think I spoiled this in my Instagram story already, but I get shot. There's blood all over me in one of the pictures that I posted in my stories.
Oh, dude. Well,
oh, my goodness.
I hope you make it.
I know I get shot. But do I live or do I die?
Blood in your mustache?
Of course. No, I don't think I got any blood in my mustache. Although I did have like a mustache handler who is like coming and combing my mustache between takes.
Gotta keep that thing trim.
I hope that person gets a credit in the credits, you know, mustache wrangler.
I believe they do. That's pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool. Well, Mark, we're thrilled that you're back. It's great that you're shooting movies. Love that you're working with like so many people we know, like Trevor Martin and Daryl Hines. Mm. I'm pumped Daryl to see Hines, this movie. Yeah. It's just so cool. But we missed you here, man. We talked a lot of snacks without you. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, it's never easy. We like hearing your side of the story.
You know what I found out is shooting right now?
What's that?
Zombies 3. Zombies 3 is shooting right now. If I haven't already called my agent twice about this, like, get me an audition for Zombies 3.
Because it's called Graduation, right?
Yeah.
I guess I was under the impression he was a freshman, the first movie. So
I thought he was too.
I'm shocked they're not doing 4 movies. I thought for sure this would be a 4 movie affair.
The right? Quadrilogy.
Like freshman, sophomore, and junior, senior.
That makes sense.
It deserves 4. It deserves 4
for sure. 3 seems incomplete.
Maybe you skipped a year.
But maybe
the smart zombie.
Maybe they're doing it on purpose. Maybe they're doing number 4 is going to be like
the
college years.
It's very Saved by the Bell. But that's always the zombie. Jump the shark, isn't
you know,
it, when they go to college?
Saved by the Bell, the college years did not get enough praise because I really think it's a good show. I own it.
Really?
And I will watch it like once a year. It's one season, but I'm telling you, it's pretty good.
That's hilarious.
You guys are like, absolutely not.
Was everybody in it? Did everybody go to college?
Lisa was not in it, and Jesse wasn't in it. But all the guys and Kelly, and then there was some new college girls that were funny. So
interesting.
And they also had like a much too old RA.
It was Bob Golic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like former Oakland Raider, like big dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm tempted to give you guys my Apple login so that you can watch it. It's so good.
I love it. I remember it vividly. I remember the other girls, the new girls. There was like one was kind of like flighty, like very
like really silly, and then the other one was very uptight.
That's right. But there was fun. It was a good mix. And Kelly. Mm-hmm. But
I forgot. And they had this dorm room that just absolutely would never happen, where it was like they had like a living room and a kitchen, and then the boys had like bunk beds.
Right.
Like, it was all attached, right? So the boys had bunk beds, and then the girls had like three single beds. It was just so ridiculous. I'm like, yeah, no, they're not putting dorm rooms together where you're all in one room, basically. So
my question is, though, in college, if Lisa Turtle isn't there, who is Screech's love interest?
I think he was kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
I don't think he had one specific. I think he was trying to get any girl to date him.
Oh, poor guy. Poor Screech.
Sounds on brand.
Yeah. Because first Zach likes the really uptight one, and then Kelly comes like halfway through the season.
Right.
So obviously there's some like...
Yeah, I mean,
tension there, and then Slater ends up with the silly one.
Ah, that makes sense.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
That's nice.
It's pretty fun. It's a fun pair. So, I like Slater and the silly girl.
So
I forget her name.
Screech doesn't end up with the nerdy one.
No, because she's like preppy.
Oh, I see.
And
I mean, he made some real headway with Lisa Turtle. It took like how many years of high school for him to like kind of like crack that nut,
you know? For her to not absolutely hate his guts.
It was a slow burn
all the way in there.
Yeah, I was rooting for Screech, you know. The college years, baby. Zombies 3, a mark. I would just show up on set and just be like, look,
I'm in this now.
Do I not look like a chaperone or what? You got a chaperone vibe for sure.
Chaperone, what are you saying? I could be a high school student.
Music teacher vibe.
I would love to be the music teacher. Oh, that'd be perfect.
Wouldn't you be like the English teacher?
Or I would love to do them to do a school play, and you're like the drama teacher, and you've had enough, you know?
Oh my gosh.
That'd be the best.
I would just do an impersonation of the drama teacher from High School Musical as an homage.
Perfect. I saw it pop in and be like, can Nikki? Like, watching them do all those dances. He's like, where were you guys at tryouts?
How come you guys didn't come out for Candide? What's going on? That's hilarious. All right, friends. Well, hey, we got an amazing episode today. And you know what? Today's episode is sponsored by our great friends over at Vintage, inspired by Jackie. Jackie's amazing. Her Disney-inspired vintage threads are off the chain. There's dresses, capes, jackets, skirts, all kinds of fun stuff. Gorgeous bespoke Disney creations that you gotta see. A must for every Disney. Check it out on Instagram at Vintage Inspired by Jackie. Miriam, how many of Jackie's stuff do you own? I feel like a pile of this stuff.
I have a couple cardigans, a couple blouses, and a dress, or two dresses. So
that's a pile. Yeah, I was on bread. I was right.
She's currently working on a Jungle Cruise thing for me. So yes. I'm very excited about that.
So how does this work? You tell her, like, I want a Jungle Cruise thing, and she makes it? Like, that's incredible.
She can do that, or she has stuff that's already designed, and you just give her your measurements, and she makes it to order
So if I want a Tron jacket, she could hook me up?
I think so.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. I mean, guys, you got to check out Jackie.
I haven't seen her do a ton of men's clothes, but maybe that's her next...
Maybe it's for my wife. Maybe
there you go. Yeah, she could probably make her a Tron dress.
Yeah, it's not happening. Okay. Dreams dashed. Guys, today is the day of the big giveaway, our March Madness giveaway, again, from Vintage Inspired by Jackie. So Jackie, thank you so very much for participating. And we're pumped to give this prize pack away. It's going to happen some point during the show today. So stick around and you might win big right here on the We Like Theme Parks podcast. Again, courtesy of Vintage Inspired by Jackie. Have I said Vintage Inspired by Jackie enough times? Have we hit our quota? One more time. Vintage Inspired by Jackie. Check them out. They're awesome. All right, friends, let's get into the show. And you know what we got to do first? We got to sell our own stuff. It's Tee Public time.
Tee Public presents It's Your Shoutouts.
Tee Public is where you can find all kinds of Diz nerdy and Universal t-shirts. You just go to our website, welikethemeparks.com, click on t-shirts, shop around, find something you like. It's a cool way you can support us, and you get cool gear for the parks. I know I wear our stuff. We have a really cool shirt that's actually selling a lot. It says, it's still MGM Studios to me. It's getting a lot of burn, man. We're doing all right with that one. So
nice.
Because it is, right? Who really calls it Hollywood Studios, right? Well, not me. Not this guy. You can check us out there. Anyway, my shout out this week is at the Main Street Mouseketeer. It's our friend John. He loves Disney and Jesus. He's a geek, a theme park lover. He's just a great dude, and his Insta is totally fun. All right, John, well, we really appreciate you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us and being a listener of our show.
I have at the Tomorrowland Traveler, and this is Daniel. He loves Disney. He has a vlog, and they're doing like all kinds of travels all over the place. So he's pretty cool. I like all of his Epcot pictures. So go check him out at the Tomorrowland Traveler.
Yeah, check him out. Check out Daniel's stuff. He's got a super fun feed. Dan, we really appreciate you listening. All right, Mark, you got one this week?
I mean, I'm just looking at Vintage Inspired by Jackie, and they have this clock face pink unisex hoodie.
Yeah.
It's a Small World print, and I am obsessed.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to order this hoodie right now.
I think
this is so nice.
Is it the Japan one?
Oh, yeah. No, this is like a pastel. This is a whole color palette going. It doesn't specify that it's Japanese. It's a Small World. It's just the name of the item is clock face pink unisex hoodie. And it's so nice.
Mark's
I'm ordering this right now.
You're going to get Jackie, some money is coming your way, courtesy of Mark Andrada. All right, friends, let's get the show rolling. And today we're going to start things off with the news.
Talking about news.
All right, let's get into some news. Miriam, what's happening in Disneyland? I heard there's something happening.
Oh, yeah. Just a little thing called a park expansion. Whoa. Kind of, sort of.
Kind of.
We don't know.
Kind of, sort of. Who knows? Okay. What's the story?
Okay. So it has a really silly title. It's called Disneyland Forward. And what it is a proposal that would see the expansion of Disneyland, Disney California Adventure, and the resort as a whole. Disneyland and DCA would get more attractions, and Downtown Disney and its hotels would resemble something like Disney Springs District, possibly a small city downtown, which sounds kind of crazy.
Yeah.
What they're doing is they're not really expanding by gathering more land in California. They're basically taking what they already have, like parking lots that maybe aren't being used as much now that they have the big parking structures built there.
Right.
And they're expanding into those types of things and just like some more land that maybe has storage or things like that. It's an expansion with their own land because there is sort of a deal going on with Disney and Anaheim that they can't take more city to expand the parks.
Yeah.
And they also have to, if they're going to build any more hotels or park, they can't be subsidized by the city of Anaheim because Anaheim did have a deal with them where they would help them build that hotel that ended up falling through by giving them like a tax subsidy. So this would be, they're not using any Anaheim funds or only using Disney funds and only using land that they currently own. Right now it's in the proposal stage, but that's why they think it'll probably get approved because it's following all the rules where they're not using Anaheim money or land. Right. They're using Disney money and Disneyland.
Yeah, that's right.
So what would be added would be shops, restaurants, entertainment, attractions, a hotel, anything and everything is kind of in play. And Disney is looking to rezone certain spaces for multiple uses. So kind of like, I guess there's maybe some places in Shanghai that are sort of like meandering. It would be kind of like that, like a kind of an open concept, like maybe Downtown Disney might have an attraction or two, but not be considered a park. There was rumors that there would be a third gate, but it's not looking like that. Or maybe it is. It's kind of nebulous right now because they haven't gotten anything approved.
That's so interesting. Yeah, this all came back from before the pandemic when were they going to build a bridge? And the city got really bent out of shape about this bridge because of all the
local businesses? There's still a bridge in play, possibly. Yeah. It would be like from the Toy Story lot over to Disneyland Resort.
Yeah.
And that would be down Harbor Boulevard. So almost like I'm imagining like in Las Vegas, how they have those bridges that kind of go across all the traffic.
Yeah, I think
that's kind of what they're thinking. And I think it's okay as long as it's on Disneyland and not on Anaheim specific zoned land. But I don't know how that works because the Toy Story lot seems really far away. I guess if the end point is the Toy Story lot and then the other end point is Disneyland, does the bridge count?
I don't know. That's really cool.
I don't know.
Well, I think the complaint was if you build this bridge, then they lose the foot traffic in front of their businesses. So if it's still that kind of Vegas style, they would still lose the foot traffic. I mean, that's a bummer, but I mean, we need some more space. I mean, where else can they grow? Yeah, I guess grow higher.
There are like a lot of backlot areas that I think they're planning on using, because it's saying that California Adventure and Disneyland could both have a little bit of room to expand. Mm. And if they do that, there's things in play like the Peter Pan area or the Tangled or Frozen or Beauty and the Beast stuff that's from their international parks.
Right.
But I think the Zootopia idea would be going into California Adventure. And I'm almost thinking like, get rid of the Grizzly Peak and all that stuff and put in Zootopia.
You don't like Grizzly Peak? I like Grizzly Peak.
It's fine. Like, I'm never going to go on that water ride. Soarin' is okay. I would love Soarin' over Zootopia. That would be so cool. But
Soarin's great. Cool. Come on. Soarin's awesome. I felt like that land was the most cohesive when they first launched the bike. That was the only one that
But now it's just like sort of a weird random thing there.
So it's like a link to California. I feel like it's the only one, really.
Now I say change the name of the park if you're going to just be that uptight about holding on to the California theming. It's the only thing that's still California themed. So
cut it loose. Yeah, you're right. So if you're going to be another IP park.
Just call it.
Hollywood Studios?
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah, yeah. I think it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, or I don't know. I just don't know that many people that still, when you hear California Adventure, I'm just not really linking it to actually California Adventure anymore.
Yeah.
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 So you could probably even just keep the name of the park and just cut any ties. Like, keep Grizzly Peak as a peak in there, but do some, make it like, make it Judy Hopps Peak.
What if they keep
it literally anything else?
Nick Fox Peak. I don't know.
What if they call it DCA, but it means something totally different? Like Disney's cool, awesome. You know, just anything that's DCA, but that's not California.
Disney's cool, awesome.
I don't know. I don't know. It's something DCA. Disney's.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Disney college application.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah. Something that just doesn't say California in it, you know?
Disney and Captain America.
Disney's cool adventures. I don't know. It could be something. These are all bad ideas. But you
Disney
you
Cars and Avengers.
Disney Cars and Avengers. That's perfect. It's perfect.
Pretty good, actually.
That's pretty great. You did it. You solved the problem. I love that. Well, it sounds really complicated. It sounds like more details are coming.
It's interesting because it was like a Disney. Like Disney put out this information, but it's kind of like they didn't really give us anything. So I'm wondering why they let this out so early when there's absolutely nothing decided.
Right. Yeah.
So
maybe just the promise of something exciting coming to the park. Cause it's just been kind of like bummer after bummer. And it's like, oh, at least, I mean, it's opening now. So that's good news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also feel like, I don't know, say what you want, but I feel like they've earned some goodwill from the government of California. Like they've been closed a long time.
Yeah, Anaheim, like, let's just open it up and let them take over a whole section of the city at this point, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I think maybe the loss of that, of the park being open, maybe kind of opened some eyes to how much they need it.
Yeah.
Honestly. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if they'll have a little bit more at play here because of that.
Do you think there's anything to the idea that, I mean, they couldn't just kind of follow in Florida's footsteps just because the footprint is so much smaller, like at Disneyland?
What do you mean?
Well, just like you don't have those kind of sprawling space like you do at Disney World.
I don't want it. I don't think people want it there.
No, but I'm just saying it's going to force people to be close together, right? And that's maybe why he was a little bit more careful or no?
Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, you're still dialing back the guests, but now you're already really close together. So now you got to dial the guests back even further so they're not clumped, you know?
I just don't think that Disneyland is that small and crowded. Mm. There are a lot. I just don't feel that.
Okay.
Yeah. This is going to be controversial. I'm probably get some heat for this, but I prefer Disneyland. It feels less crowded to me, generally speaking, when I'm there.
There and maybe are certain times of day, obviously, that are kind of bad. And certain areas, like Adventureland, is always kind of going to bottleneck.
Yeah,
but always. That's really the only place I feel it is Adventureland.
I also seem to always be in California. My history of California is always September, it seems like. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I maybe also hit it at a time when it's just kind of they're at a bit of a low in terms of attendance. So maybe I'm just lucky that way because I just have happened to be there all the time in September. I'm usually there just in time to either catch the beginning of the Halloween decorations or I'm just shy of it. Like I just miss it by like a couple of days.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was going to say is I feel like September is kind of a good snapshot of how busy it usually is because everyone's psyched for the Halloween decorations, so I don't think that you're at low tide there.
Oh, okay. Okay,
there you go. I find it's usually end of July, August. That's lower.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wild. Okay.
And obviously, like, January, February.
Pro tips,
just because stuff is usually closed.
Right. Well, this past January, February is like, there's nobody there.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Completely empty park.
Yeah. Literally no empty. It's wild. Great time.
Disneyland Cats, we're having a ball.
Disneyland Cats is a musical that I am not prepared for.
I want it. I feel like there would actually be some cohesive storyline there.
Hey, Miriam, anything else in the news?
Yeah, there was a brand new show that premiered on Disney Plus 2 weeks ago we didn't mention at the last podcast.
Maybe because I didn't
watch it. And that was Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah. What do you think?
I love it. I wasn't expecting to love it, but Bucky, marry me.
Take her away, Bucky.
You're so damaged. I want to help.
Oh, my gosh.
He is.
There's a window into the truth. Hey, holy. Wow. Miriam just said that on the podcast.
I think everyone already knew.
But there's a difference between
second, and it's pretty out there.
I guess. It just feels, I don't know. It feels like there's a step between your Instagram feed and then just laying it out on the podcast.
No, I gotta tell
you're
you,
so damaged.
The character I'm really in love with is Joaquin Torres.
Oh, yeah. He's got some problems, too.
And who's he?
I mean, he's gonna have some problems. I've read what happens to him in the comics, and wow.
Who's Joaquin Torres? Eager. Hold on, who is this guy? Is he the helper, Falcon's helper?
What a reduction.
Oh, you know what I mean, the whole... Is that who I'm talking about?
Yeah, he's in the first episode a bunch. He's only in the second one for like 5 seconds. I timed it, but...
Seven, eight.
What's his character's name again? I forget.
Joaquin Torres.
Joaquin Torres. So we're going to have the Joaquin watch.
Mm-hmm.
Miriam, every episode. Yeah. How much screen time did this guy get?
Mark, have you watched this yet?
Yep.
How are you feeling?
I feel fine.
All right.
It's fine. It's good. You know what? The thing is, and this is about my own personal preference when it comes to superheroes. I like my magical heroes. I like magic. You give me Loki, I'm pleased. Thor, while, debatable whether he's magic, but you know what I mean. Doctor Strange, Shazam. I know I'm talking about DC now, but that's what I like.
Shazam was
so
awesome.
I just came off of something that was so magical and a huge magical fight at the end. And now I'm kind of in the real world, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And I'm just less into that in general. But I'm still into the show and I'm enjoying the show and I'm looking forward to seeing the relationship between these two characters, I think, for me is what I'm really going to enjoy.
I agree. And I'm with you. I like the magic better. And I cannot stand Captain America. I won't watch any of the Captain America movies. I actually tried to force myself to do it to prepare for this. And I fall asleep and then they're so boring. But there's something compelling about Bucky and Sam.
It's his face. It's his face and his body.
For sure. And Sam too.
All right.
Now Torres.
I'll say this much. Way to go, Disney, for taking characters that I didn't care about. And now I do. You did it again. You did it, Disney.
Right? Did you like it?
Yeah. It's really good. Mm-hmm. These guys are broken. We're going to watch them fix themselves. And that action sequence to like just start the whole show off, it's pretty incredible. Like both episodes, great action.
I cared the least about.
I mean.
But it was good. Awesome. Of that kind of thing, it was pretty good.
If you like that kind of thing, they got it. If you like broken hot dudes, they got it.
They got that too.
Great cameos. The cameos. Mm-hmm. I don't want to spoil, but some incredible cameos. Like, who can I talk about? I guess we won't say who they are. UFC's greatest champion, George St. Pierre, is in it. Incredible.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't notice him.
Oh, yeah.
And I know exactly who that person is.
Oh, yes.
I've watched him do the punching many a time.
Yeah, You got a little dunch.
He's got a wild punch. He does this thing called the Superman punch. Yeah. It looks like a Superman punch. Yep. Like it looks like, and he does it in real life, for real. It's like, wow, you did that. That's a thing you do.
I don't think he does a Superman punch.
Very exciting.
Punch in
it's
show.
Very exciting.
But he does one of those off the wall kicks.
Who was it? Was he one of the bad guys?
He was the bad guy, man, at the beginning. It's George St. Pierre speaking in French.
I don't know.
Right, because it's action, right?
Yeah. That's really cool.
Miriam.
Miriam's like, I don't know, that foreign
this
guy.
Action show.
Really
I was
mean.
Like, show me more of Torres on the ground. I'm more interested in that.
Oh Oh boy, careful.
He's the guy that didn't speak any English.
Never careful. What?
Oh my gosh.
But then you had some Don Cheadle in there. He popped up, and you had. Is that Edie Falco who's playing the therapist?
No, it's the therapist from Felicity.
Oh, okay. I thought that was Edie Falco. I was like, she's awesome. Well, she's awesome. The therapist from Felicity. I don't know her name, but just the cast is great. The cameos were cool.
Roll in the hay. That's pretty great.
Yeah. It moves a mile a minute too, which I'm really enjoying. It's really cool. But I'm going to say this. There was another show I liked a lot better.
Uh-oh. Was it Mighty Ducks?
Quack, Game quack, Changers? Baby. Quack, quack.
I knew it.
It's really good.
What is this?
It's the Mighty Ducks new show with, is it Lauren Graham from the Gilmore Girls?
Yeah, Lauren Graham. Yeah.
It's like a drama?
No, it's, you know what they did with this show? And I got to say, if you're a fan of the OG Ducks, I would even say so far, it's even better. It's more fun.
It's not like a reality show.
It's what they've done with this show, and tell me, Mark, if I'm way off, they've Cobra Kai'd it, and now the Ducks are the bad guys, right?
Oh, they got too big.
They're the hard team that the champs all the time. They kick a kid off the team.
Who's coming in to humble them?
Well, the kid who got pumped it off the team, and now he's starting his own team. Yeah, he starts his own team, and his mom is, Lauren Graham, and she's like, yeah, I'll coach, whatever. The Emilio Estevez runs the crappy arena that they're going to practice and play in, and
what's this team's name?
They're called the Don't Bothers right now because the mother said to the coach of the Ducks, don't bother.
That should be rewritten.
Yeah, that's a little bit. Bad. It's going to go somewhere. But here's the thing. The kids in it are great. The kids are fantastic. The cuteness factor and the funny factor with this kids cast is off the charts, like already. So great show for a family. Yeah, I liked it more than Winter Soldier, Falcon and Winter Soldier. Yeah, it's great. So far, I mean, one app. So I was pleasantly surprised. Anyway,
I didn't even know it was coming. Like I didn't hear any pre sort of hype about it at all. Mm-hmm. And I saw a friend tweet about it and I went, what? And the tweet was positive. Like the tweet was like, this is really good, better than the original. And I was like, okay.
Much better.
So written. I looked into it and there it is.
How?
Yeah. Way I better really written
like,
so far.
I like Ducks 1 and 3 a lot. So.
What was your problem with 2?
It's not good.
Two's always a problem.
That's when they went to the championships of the world. They're like terrible. Playing Iceland.
It was so bad.
Hockey greats.
In the high school one. No, no.
Listen,
the second one's bad.
That tournament was like a debacle. Iceland doesn't play hockey. Are they like Jamaica playing hockey? Come on.
I mean, it was also like a bad story.
What was about everything? How do they go from playing in their local rink to now representing the world? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and then back to playing for high school.
Yeah, and then they're the B squad on the high school team, the junior squad.
But that was a way better story than the second one.
Oh yeah, their scholarships and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, anyway, this is much better so far. I mean, not a lot of stuff on the ice. It was very much like Avengers Assemble. They were building the crew. Actually, like the Muppets. They were like going to get each person. They need the goalie. They need the defenseman. They need the guy. They need the girl. They need the everybody. Or, oh, no, we're not going to have anybody. But then they all come together. Oh, it's great. Super fun. And actually, a dude I worked on in a musical last year was in it. And I was a little bit surprised because he had tweeted about it. And that's the only reason I knew about it. And so same thing. Mm-hmm. Mark. I was like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't push this at all. I didn't see any ads for it on the network. I didn't see anything online.
Nothing.
Next thing I knew, it was just there.
Yeah.
They probably just put everything they had into Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah. And so two great new shows to check out on Disney Plus. It's called Mighty Ducks Game Changers.
Game Changers.
Yeah, correct. That's the one. And of course, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I'm caring about Avengers I didn't care about. You did it, Disney. I'm going to go.
Baffles me that you didn't care about Bucky.
I will say that's my favorite Captain America movie. Well, not Civil War was pretty good.
He's in both.
I know, but he's more prominent in Winter Soldier, obviously.
What? The whole fight is about Bucky in the second one.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, in the second one. Bucky's the star, right?
I don't know, in the Civil War one. Whatever.
Not as much.
Can't keep him straight. Well,
you love this dude. Yeah. He was great in everything, and he's the most prominent character in every Avengers movie. You didn't see it? I don't know. It's fine.
Sorry.
It's fine. Yeah, lots of cool stuff to check out on Disney Plus. And is that it for the news?
That's it.
All right, friends. Well, hey, that was the news. We're going to come right back with more after this quick break right here on the We Like Theme Parks a podcast. Oh, I missed your whisper. All right, friends, March Madness is back. It's more snack fights. It's time for the round four of March Madness of Snacks, and this is the Elite Eight. Yes, this is the championship of each conference. It's happening right now. You guys have been voting. We're going to vote ourselves right now, and we're going to see who wins this bad boy. And don't forget that today, the March Madness is brought to you by Vintage Inspired by Jackie. Go check her out on her Instagram. They have so much amazing clothes. We've been talking about it all episode. We're still talking about it. That's Vintage Inspired by Jackie. March Madness, the snacks. All right, friends. Well, we're going to kick things off with Universal USA. But before we do, I want to talk to you about a friend of the podcast, a guy by the name of John Self, who is a Universal junkie from Western Illinois. And John had a lot of feedback about whoever picked the 16 options for Universal USA, whoever the knucklehead was that picked those 16 items, he had some very strong opinions about the 16 that we chose. I don't know who was in charge of picking that one division.
That was you.
Oh yeah.
You did that.
Right. That was me. Yeah. So, here we go. This is John Self.
Being a avid, Universal Orlando person who's been there probably way too many days in this my current annual pass, I got many, many problems with the snacks that were selected.
Many, many
Plowman's
problems.
Platter. How is a $22 snack platter, I mean platter, considered a snack? Cheeseburger Ushi? That is not a snack. That is an adventure. That is a challenge. I'm not a fan of it because I'm not a big fan of waiting 2 hours just to get my food at Cowfish, but we'll go with that. You also included the Dagwood, which if you consult many of the unofficial sources, the Dagwood is considered to be the last thing you want to order at that restaurant because it's a pre-made sandwich and they make the other things to order. And quite frankly, it's not very good to start with.
I mean, it goes on and on, guys. John is legit. He's coming after us, me, about my choices for
Universal. I was going to say, don't say us. Coming after you.
I'm going to say he was quite complimentary about our Disney choices. So Miriam and Mark, this is for you. This is just an applauso for me. So John had a lot to say. He left a voicemail that was 10 minutes long. I just played you a minute.
I'd like to hear it in its entirety. Can we play the whole thing, please?
No, we got to do March Madness of Snacks. But you know
this,
what?
I mean, this feels valid. This
maybe
feels
put like it on the end of the episode.
Yeah, you know what? At the end of the episode is a tag. I'd like to hear the
okay, you know what? This is going to be when we're going to start our Patreon pretty soon. This is our first piece of Patreon information here.
Our first piece of Patreon is a giant complaint.
Is our call fans hating us.
Yeah. Let's start things off right. You guys don't know what you're talking about, Universal Studios.
What was the decision-making process while picking snacks?
Okay, in my defense, because you know what? John has some good points, and I don't want to begrudge John. He obviously knows his stuff. But for us, the tricky thing was we didn't want to do things that were similar or the same as other snacks in more popular parks. For instance, here's an example. Turkey leg. A turkey leg at a Universal at Jurassic Park is iconic. But we already have a turkey leg that's more iconic at Epcot. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we didn't want to do two turkey legs because that would just not be good. So,
but how many donuts were on the list?
No, but that's different. Those donuts are different. They're different kinds of donuts. You can't compare Voodoo Donuts and Lard. You just can't.
Okay.
And in fact, John also mentioned that it's not actually called a Lard Lad donut. Like the big one is called Big Pink. He was like, you got to be more specific, Holmes. This guy knows his stuff. He's legit.
What did you just call me?
You know, I will also say that we wanted to make sure we were picking iconic stuff. It might not be the best tasting thing or it's popularity wise. Sure, there are things that are further down the menu that might taste better, or especially someone like John who's eaten so many different things. He's tried different things, but we're talking about the most popular, the most iconic. But what I'm proposing here, it sounds like John knows his stuff. So here's my proposal. John, I hope you're listening. Next year, March Madness, the Dranks. I would like you to make our 16 seeded bracket for Universal USA. If you're in, let us know, my friend, and you can pick the 16 drinks. You know, we'll take a peek and see, give you our opinion, but we will let you create the 16 beverages for next year's March Madness, the drinks. I think that's fair, guys. You think that's fair? Like, I think that's an olive branch.
Significantly easier task. Universal drinks versus universal snacks. I don't think anybody would argue that that is an easier task.
Well, listen, like he says, like the plowman's platter is not a snack. I mean, listen, if I'm eating it with four people, yes, it is. And if you're husky like I am, it might also be a snack.
If you're eating anything with four people, it's a snack.
Just saying, you know, I've snacked on that.
You get a whole rotisserie chicken with, you know, you get enough people on that, it's a snack.
It's a platter, guys. You share a platter. Who sits in front of a platter and eats the whole thing? Legit. You know what I'm saying?
So look, what's on the platter?
That too. So, you know, listen, there's a yin and a yang here.
Bucky Barnes is on the platter.
Bucky Barnes
on
the platter.
Talk about a snack.
But let's give John his due.
The whole meal.
And John, hopefully you accept our challenge. And thank you so much for reaching out. It's obvious you are passionate about Universal Studios. And for that, we love you. So thanks for listening. And we hope you participate in March Madness, the drinks.
Let's get ready to.
It's the championship of the Universal USA Conference. And who do we got left remaining, Miriam?
It was number 5, Butterbeer Ice Cream, against number 6, Buffalo Tots.
We know what Mark's going to say, right? I feel like we know what Mark's going to say.
You do?
Okay. Yeah, man, because you're like an ice cream like junkie. Is that fair to say? Like a junkie.
Yeah, if you can say that if you like, yeah. I like ice cream a lot. I do.
And Miriam,
I dedicate a good portion of my life to trying to get ice cream.
And similarly, Miriam has dedicated up to magical treats. Is that not accurate?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I know where this is heading. And
You don't.
I don't? Okay. No. Well, why don't I go first since I'm just yapping anyway. And if I had this for the two in front of me, I'm going to hold out and still say, I will eat butterbeer ice cream if you give it to me. I will not seek it out. I will seek out a butter beer, the drink. I would definitely choose a Buffalo Tot. I love Buffalo. I've been to Buffalo. It's a cool town. The wings are great. You can catch a hockey game. It's good times. Buffalo Tots are where it's at. Buffalo on its own is awesome. Tots on its own is awesome. You put them together, magic. I'm choosing Buffalo Tots. Mark, why don't you go ahead and tell us which way you're going? Because I think
also choosing Buffalo Tots.
What? What? Get out of here.
Yeah. I mean, as much as I love butterbeer ice cream, and I do, I love butterbeer ice cream.
So good.
And I love ice cream in general.
Yeah.
I can't tell you, a frozen potato product that is then deep fried is what I like, or baked, depending, whatever.
Yeah.
You know how many of those tots I eat just regular in my life? I eat so many of those. I get them frozen from the grocery store and I throw them in the oven at least 2-3 times a week. I also love a hash brown, like the hash brown
patties.
Hold up.
3 times a week? Legit 3 times? That's almost every other day you're eating tots.
I do. I eat a lot of tots.
That's insane.
I eat a lot of tots. I eat a lot of rice. I eat a lot of tots. I like tots. And then you start making a dish out of those tots. You start making a buffalo tots time. I don't know, man. I like that. That's what I like.
I want to get in on that.
So it was a tough choice. I promise you. I sat there and I replayed it on our Instagram story. I looked at it a few times. I went, here's the thing about that butterbeer ice cream. It's not as exciting as I hope it would be. And maybe that's because I'm like so desensitized because the ice creams that I do go for are like sometimes like just a wild flavor ice cream. You know what I mean? Like, I have an ice cream in my freezer right now that's fig, blue cheese, and walnut. With a red wine swirl in it.
So
fancy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's called the cheese board, I believe. The cheese board. I think that's what it's
sounds
called.
Sounds like a platter.
Wait, what
that's
did I
not
say
a
was
snack.
In it? Anyway, it's great. So, you know, that's the bar for ice creams. Like, my ice cream tastes are wild. So when I have the butterbeer, no offense to butterbeer ice cream, but it's kind of like
butterscotch.
Yeah, it's butterscotch. There's something sort of caramelly about it. And it's delicious. I'm not trying to say this is a bad ice cream by any stretch of the imagination. But the ice cream snob that I am, it's a bit pedestrian, you know? But these tots, come on, tots. You do whatever you want to these tots. You know? You can take these tots on the Mummy the Ride. You can have like an animatronic Brendan. You know what? I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop talking. I'm not gonna say anything. The tots are great.
They should have an animatronic Brendan Fraser on there.
They should. They should.
No, they should.
There should be a few of them around the park just greeting you.
Oh my God, I love that.
Oh boy. Miriam, butterbeer is magic. Buffalo tots is not. Is that kind of where it ends?
I mean, I love a buffalo tot, but yeah. I'm a witch. I had to go with the butterbeer ice cream. Just
I'm
like,
a
you
witch.
Know.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is how it is. Yeah. You're a witch. You go to a magical place. You have to have the magical treat.
Do you just Wingardium Leviosa that right up to your mouth? You just don't even use your hands when you eat that? You just
100%
levitates to your face? Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
Yep.
Well, that's two for buffalo tots and one for butterbeer ice cream. Which one of these snacks is going to prevail right here and represent Universal USA in the final four?
It's butterbeer ice cream with 59% to 41%.
Wow. I'm surprised. It's just...
I'm not.
It's just the word butterbeer. Butterbeer's in there. It could be butterbeer anything. Honestly, it could be butterbeer turkey leg, and then poof, it's
butterbeer. You know what? Hold up, though. A butterbeer turkey leg, I bet, would be delicious.
If you dip it,
your mind. Be reasonable, as you like.
Listen, hear me out. Hear me out on this butterbeer. Okay. It's kind of like, have you ever had like a root beer chicken wing? Like they make this sauce, the sweet part of the sauce is like with a root beer. So it's still spicy and savory, but it's got like a sweet side to it. But instead of honey, you're doing like root beer. And I love those. Like I've had those wings before. Those are delicious wings. So I could, while I don't care for an entire turkey leg, because that's too big.
You want butterbeer chicken wings.
Ooh. I could, if you gave me butterbeer chicken wings, I'd be down. Spicy butterbeer chicken wings.
Spicy, little sweet, little spicy. Like honey garlic.
Universal, check us out.
Check us out. Write it down, Universal. Guys, you know when you go to Dairy Queen and you get the dip cone? Like they straight up take the cone and they dip it. Take the turkey leg.
Never get that.
Take the turkey leg.
Oh, really? I get that all the time.
That's good. It's yummy, right? You take the turkey leg, you dip it in like the butterbeer, like whatever yumminess.
Oh, gross.
The shell. So you get that nice butterbeer shell.
You are
on top
nasty.
Of the
turkey.
That's gross. Listen, I was on board with my idea, boy. I don't know what this is. You're talking. You're basically talking about a candy apple. Well, you're saying you're describing a candy apple turkey leg.
Some ways, right? We're getting there. We're getting there, guys. Things are getting crazy.
Mr. Bond, if you're nasty.
I love it. All right. Let's keep this party going and let's move on over across the pond to Disney International. All right. These are the two big contestants in Disney International. Not two of the top seeds, but two faves nonetheless. Miriam, who do we have competing?
We have number 6, the multi-flavored popcorn, against number 8, handheld crepes.
It's Tokyo against Paris right here in Disney International. Miriam, why don't we kick things off with you? Are we talking Paris or are we talking Tokyo?
Tokyo. Yeah. I want to try all the flavors of popcorn. Crepes, you know, I love a crepe. I've had a bunch of them. I haven't had garlic shrimp popcorn, so that's where I'm at.
I'm feeling you. I'm feeling you there. The popcorn is just so much more iconic than a crepe as far as a Disney park goes internationally. When I think of crepes, I think of France. I don't think of Disney. You know what I mean? But these weird flavored popcorn flavors, I don't feel
they didn't even try to make the crepes Mickey shaped or put a Mickey shape on the crepe. Lazy. I don't understand that. They could have put a Mickey in the middle of it.
But the Tokyo popcorn, there's so many different flavors. And the fact, I can't speak to Paris on this one, but the fact that when you go to Tokyo, you got to line up to get this popcorn. It is a legit half hour just to get popcorn. And the fact that every other person has a popcorn bucket, it's just iconic. It is the snack. It is the snack that should come out of this conference. That's where I'm with you, Miriam. Tokyo popcorn.
I voted for crepe. No. No. No chance. I did not do that at all. I voted for popcorn. Come on.
So
be
good.
Be reasonable, as I say. Called out on my catchphrases.
That's three popcorns.
Like catchphrases.
I'm feeling really good about the popcorn. I feel like this is the way, as the Mandalorian says. What does America think?
They agreed. 56% voted for popcorn to 44% to crepe.
Pop pop Tokyo. In
pop,
so many
pop,
different flavors.
He says.
Yeah, pop pop, baby.
Pop
pop. Pop. Pop remember pop. Him from Community? Pop pop. Pop.
What was that?
What was the name of that character that would always come in and go, pop, pop? That was his catchphrase. That's all he'd ever really say.
I don't remember.
No,
I can't remember.
Was he like really old? Was he Chevy Chase's buddy?
No. I'm going to look it up. I got to find it. It's going to bother me.
Did we just say pop, pop? That's it?
He would come in and go, pop, pop.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about.
No, his name was Magnitude. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. I knew it was like a 90s hip hop name. Like Magnitude.
I love so it. Funny. That show's the best. I miss that show.
Yeah, good time.
I will say when Chevy Chase left the show, it wasn't as good. Throwing that
really?
Out. Yeah. Because him and Dan Harmon didn't get along. But
Chevy him Chase and nobody gets good. Along.
Yeah. Who, Chevy Chase?
Yeah. I heard he didn't get along with anybody. He never gets along with anybody. That's why he never...
Yeah, there's not a glowing review from the cast of that show about him.
Well, yeah. What's the problem with Chevy Chase? What's
he's a left, dick.
He's a big jerk, yeah. Oh, he left Saturday Night Live after the first season because he thought he was the best to go do movies. Everybody was like, good, we're glad he's gone. He wasn't very nice. Yeah, he's
notoriously mean.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Vacation is until like, what, 81 or something like that? Fletch is like 80, shortly 70, thereafter.
75.
Oh, 75.
SNL 75, season one.
So what did he do right away? Why was he? I felt like it was Fletch in the Vacation movies that really, you know, that's where he blew up. Anyway, wow, I didn't know that about him.
He's still a dick, no matter when his career blew up.
Caddyshack. Is it Caddyshack where it blew up?
Ugh, hate that movie.
Oh, okay. I like Chevy.
I haven't seen it since I was a kid, and I've never been inspired to watch it again. Okay. I like him in the National Lampoon movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Christmas Vacation's the best one.
Yeah. Two or three.
Agree. Sort of yeah. I'd like more of those movies, to be honest. But with not the Ed Helms. I want Chevy Chase.
Van Wilder.
Well, love me some Ryan Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds can do anything, so I'd be in for that. Yeah. What if Ryan Reynolds...
Is Ryan Reynolds your Bucky Barnes?
Yeah. Huge man crush on Ryan Reynolds. Like, doesn't. And even before...
I don't that much.
Really? Well, more for
He's
me.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
More for me.
More for me. Whatevs. Okay, well, we've done Disney International and Universal USA. It's time to move over to the Disney on the home front, and we're talking about Disney East. All right, it's Disney East. It's time to get into the nitty-gritty. We got two amazing competitors remaining.
We have number three, the Mickey Premium Ice Cream Bar, versus number four, the Citrus Swirl.
Ooh, it's a matchup. Indeed. Miriam, is there a non-premium Mickey bar?
No.
So they just throw premium in there just to like...
Well, that's just what it's called. Okay. We've just been calling it a plain old Mickey bar this whole time, but...
It is a premium.
A premium Mickey bar ice cream.
I'm just wondering, because if you buy something that's premium, I would assume that there's something that's crappier right behind it, right? The not-so-premium bar. That's
yeah, I think it's whatever cheaper. Else is in the cart, you know?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. What else do they have in there? They have like a push-pop thing, I think, and an Mickey ice cream sandwich.
Well, those are good, too. Ooh, yum.
Some ice that's like some condensation ice on the side of the inside.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The cast member just scoops some out with their bare hand and hands it to you.
Exactly. You have like the frozen bananas with the nuts on them.
Oh, those are good.
I don't care for those.
I like those. I like a frozen banana.
Nah, pass. Hard pass. Hey, Mark, we got two cool treats here. One's ice cream, one isn't. Is it fair to assume that the ice cream will prevail, or are you going to twist it up like last time?
I went with the more iconic one. I mean, obviously, it's the Mickey Premium Bar.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, we use the word iconic, and I think this is it. Like, is there a snack more iconic? Not too many.
I can think of
not
a few, too many. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it's up there.
It is.
Yeah, nobody has a push pop magnet, right?
Yeah.
I've seen lots of Mickey bar magnets.
Is there a more iconic Mickey shaped treat? I don't think
waffle?
So.
Waffle? Waffle maybe?
I mean,
pretzel?
Waffle. Pretzel. It's I think this is number one, I think, as far as shaped Mickeys.
Mickey shaped treats?
Edible, Mickey shaped treats. Yeah, it's a tough call. I'm going to go with you, Mark. I think it's the premium ice cream bar, even though I don't know what's so premium about it.
Well, it's the quality of the ice cream, and the chocolate is premium.
So it's good chocolate. It's not like a waxy chocolate like sometimes those bars are.
Yeah, so it's like a nice good milk chocolate. Yeah. No big deal. I mean, come on. Is that what makes it premium, you know? I think it's premium because you bought it at Disney. That's about
it. You know, COVID's over, you'll be able to snack and stroll with it. That's nice.
I like to point. Yeah. I like to use it to point at things.
Oh, you can't do that for very long in Florida. It'll melt all over the place.
You keep saying that. I got to wave it around early then.
That's the dangerous game, is using the Mickey bar as your pointer.
Yeah, just slinging it on random patrons at the park. Jeez.
I've ordered with the Mickey Premium Ice Cream Bar. It is yummy. It is refreshing. And yeah, if I just had that or a citrus swirl in front of me, you know, I would probably go for the citrus swirl. But as far as icons go, the Mickey ice cream bar is it. So I'm voting that way.
I voted for the citrus swirl because that darn bird is so cute.
He's adorable.
So. Tweet, tweet. Oh, the bird. I forgot about the bird.
Very they have cute. Some really cute orange bird spirit jerseys there right now. Yeah. I have my eye on one.
There's a ton so of cute. Merch for that guy. A ton for that.
Because he's so cute. There's like the little sipper that you can have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I mean, I do like the citrus swirl. It's nice. It's refreshing, especially if it's so hot there and you're in Adventureland. Heck yeah.
Citrus swirl is certainly yummy. Is it a drink or is it a snack? It's a snack, right?
What are you talking about? You eat it with a spoon.
Okay, just checking. I haven't had one in a long time. I remember enjoying
it's
it.
It's like a soft serve.
Yeah.
Love
yeah.
No different than a butterbeer ice cream.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, a bit different in the flavor.
So it's like probably. A slushy, right? It's a slushy, right?
No, it's a soft serve.
It's got a float element to it in that there is a liquid. There's liquid to it. But
thank you.
It's so much more ice cream than liquid that I would not call it a drink.
Okay,
I'll show you a picture.
The liquid is almost a sauce.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the citrus liquid, like that slushy. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. But I would call that more of like a topping to your ice cream rather than
I'm still with it on Team Snack. And
this is what it looks like. It is an ice cream.
That looks like a Dole Whip.
That's a soft serve.
It looks like a Dole Whip.
That is a soft serve. You know why? Because all my images of it are of the float.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a float one, but it does come as a soft serve.
Yeah.
But even the Dole Whip float, I would call more of a snack than a drink.
Yeah, because you're the mostly using a spoon, and you use a straw at the very end.
I just think, personally, I've only ever had the float version of the citrus swirl. I never bothered with just the
ice cream. But it's still mostly ice cream.
Yeah, yeah, but I drank it, so anyway.
What? How are you drinking this? I sent you a picture.
Listen, don't underestimate
me drinking solids, okay?
Have you seen Chris eat? He eats like a seagull. You know what I mean?
That is seagulls
just like
eat.
Onk, 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 just a whole thing. Like, you ever seen an eagle eat a giant french fry? That's Chris. Onk, 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 like that.
Mark, you watch me eat?
Yeah, man. Your window backs right out onto the street. I just park my car outside your house at dinner time and just hang out. I put a bib on as if I'm going to eat too, and I just sit and watch.
I'm moving for sure.
And I listen to Bonnie Raitt. Let's give him something to talk about.
I do eat fast. That is true. I have eaten with Mark, and he's seen it. Miriam, you haven't witnessed me eat yet. I can't wait for that moment. You'll be like, damn. Mark was not
Miriam,
lying.
You have yet to witness me eat, and I look forward to showing you how I eat.
Get ready, man. Strap in. It's going to be a wild ride.
I have a nephew who's like that. He's like, you should watch me eat. I'm like, all right, I'll watch you eat. That's the show, just watching him eat.
All right, friends. Well, that was Disney East, and now we're going to the most iconic of parks. It's Disneyland and Disney West. This is a true battle of two heavyweights. It's almost too bad that these two meet here because you feel like they would almost meet later. But Miriam, who do we got?
We have number one Dole Whip against number two Churro.
Somebody obviously knew what they were talking about when seeding this conference because one and two made it to the final, and that was Miriam Kenley. Dole Whips and Churros. Let's just bring it right to you, Miriam. I mean, this has got to be gut-wrenching, heartbreaking, all those things for you to leave one out in the cold and to embrace the other. One is a namesake. One is the most iconic. I don't know what you're going to say. I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah, this was a very rude matchup, honestly. I had a very hard time, but I can't be the Churro Fund and vote for a Dole Whip. That's just crazy. So definitely voted for the Churro. And there are some park trips, because I go often enough, where I don't have time for a Dole Whip. I will always make a time for a Churro. Churro is like breakfast sometimes.
Yep.
I mean, yeah, so I had to go with the Churro. Or say I'm there on a two-day trip, I will have a Dole Whip one day, but I'll have a Churro both days.
Got it. This makes sense.
Churro.
I got to flip the script. I'm going Dole Whip. I like churros. I don't love churros. If the churro is available, I'll eat it. But if I have to, but yeah, I mean, I seek out Dole Whip like most people do, you know? And every time.
But I think the Disneyland churro is a step above every churro on Earth.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I think
you're thinking about a Disney World churro that shaded this.
No, not at all. Listen. You have preached for weeks and even before March Madness, the snacks, about how the Disneyland churro is the epicenter of churros. I know that. But I know when I show up at Disneyland and I'm like, Chris, go beeline it to a snack. I know I'm going to go to the Tiki Room and I know I'm going to have the Dole Whip. I just know it. I'm programmed that way. And if I have a chance and I'm still hungry, then maybe be like, oh yeah, the churro is special here. I guess I'll try the churro. You know how you know if Bondo likes something? And Mark can attest to this, is if I share it or not. If I don't share it, you know it's a Bondo fave. Like, I ain't going to share a Dole Whip with you.
Sharing an
I'm not going to share a Dole with you.
Ice cream treat? That's kind of yuck.
That's not yuck. That. What are you talking about? You don't share ice cream with loved ones?
No.
Well, well, speak for yourself. I'm happy to share, but not a Dole Whip because that's mine. This is mine. Buffalo tots? My tot. You know what I mean? Yeah. Here, you want a bite of my churro?
Yeah, turkey leg? Won't share that.
I will share a turkey leg because that's the with my wife and I will always
share. I think you're sharing non-shareable items then. Turkey leg seems personal. You're taking bites off of that.
Chacun son goût, they say in French. Everyone has their own taste.
I don't think you can say that. This is a family podcast, man.
I can say chacun son goût.
Stop saying that
fast.
You got to put a disclaimer on this episode.
Miriam, if I buy a churro, I would happily break it in half and give you the other half. I would not slice my Dole Whip in half and go here. I mean, I'll share it with you reluctantly if you want to taste, but this is mine, Dole Whip. You know what I'm saying? So, Dole Whip.
Well, don't worry. I do Dole Whips alone. So.
Okay, so we agree. Great. I like that. Mark, break this tie for us, buddy.
I don't want to. I'm going to let you guys fight forever.
Fight
forever. I mean, I voted for Dole Whip. The thing is about, I feel the same, I feel similar about the Dole Whip that I think Miriam, you feel about the churro. I'll have a couple of Dole Whips and I'll have a churro.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm absolutely going to have both.
Yeah.
There's no question. The thing is, I start my day and I've got such a, like a really, what do you call that? Like a really vivid, like visceral memory of, and I do it every time, right? The first thing I do, and I joke that I rope drop Dole Whips, but I kind of do. And I go and I have it for breakfast. Like, it is my breakfast in the park.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it every single time. So, you know, it's just really special to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I chose Dole Whip. But I will always have a churro as well. Churros are, I mean, let's be honest here. Yeah. So it's a tough choice. But I mean, for me and for like what my heart says, I say Dole Whip.
Okay. Dole Whip is a fave around here. Is it the fave with the rest of America and Canada and the UK and anyone else who listens, really? what do they think?
Botswana? We have listeners in Botswana.
Do we? Hey, welcome, Botswana. Glad to have you.
Well, our listeners voted 62% Dole Whip to 38% churro.
Of course they did. Of course they did. Miriam is not pleased. I got them.
I am, because my number one pick through this whole thing was Dole Whip. So It lives to fight another day. It's going to win the whole thing.
I think so.
You know, it's looking pretty close. Dole Whip comes out of the Disney West Conference. So we have four champions. We have four conference champs today. The Dole Whip in Disney West, the Butterbeer ice cream in Universal USA, the Tokyo different flavored popcorn in Disney International, and Disney East's Mickey ice cream bar. Miriam, what are the final matchups for March Madness, the final four?
Okay, our semifinal matchups are number one Dole Whip against number five Butterbeer ice cream.
Woohoo!
Then we have number three Mickey bar against number six popcorn.
Wow, so a big, big matchup. The Mickey ice cream bar taking on Tokyo's popcorn. And then the Butterbeer ice cream going up against a Dole Whip. Wow. The final four is set. These are the conference champions. It's a big deal. Applauso to all four of these snacks for making it out of their conferences. No small feat. There are no losers here. Only winners. And delicious ones at that. And before we break on out of here and we wrap up March Madness, we got something special. We got to give away some fun stuff. It's March Madness, the snacks, the giveaway, courtesy of Vintage Inspired by Jackie, one of our fans right now who submitted to possibly win the giveaway, is about to win a special prize from Vintage Inspired by Jackie. What's it going to be and who's our lucky winner?
She put together a really beautiful varsity style cardigan.
Ooh.
And I'm excited for who gets to win this. So let's announce that right now. All right. So our winner for the vintage inspired by Jackie varsity cardigan is at @MelissaF_76.
MelissaF76, you won the prize. Yeah. Woohoo. You're the winner. Yeah. Hopefully you're listening to this episode so you get to claim this prize, because if you don't, then somebody else gets it. Somebody else. Yeah.
Yeah, just send us a DM and we will set you up with Jackie to get that cardigan to you.
Fantastic. Congratulations. And everyone's a winner. Thanks to everyone who entered the competition. And guys, there's one more giveaway for March Madness, the snacks, the giveaway with another sponsor. We're really excited about that. We'll announce that next week on the March Madness Final Four. So stick with us. There's plenty of fun to be had, plenty of snacks to drool about, and plenty of prizes to win right here on the We Like Theme Parks podcast. And a big, big shout out and a thank you to Jackie from Vintage Inspired by Jackie. Amazing stuff. We've talked about it all episode. Do check her out. She has amazing stuff, especially for the ladies. But maybe the dudes too. Hey, she does bespoke stuff. Maybe she can make me a Tron jacket. It'll be a very big jacket, but maybe she has enough material. You never know. So go and check her out. All right, friends. Well, hey, that's it. That's it for the show this week. Yeah, March Madness continues. And thanks so much for tuning in today if you had a good time. Guys, rate, review, subscribe. Why not, right? You like us. I like you. Fantastic. And if you have a segment idea or you just want to say, hey, hit us up at whatsup@welikethemeparks.com. You can always find us goofing around on the Instagram @WeLikeThemeParks. And don't forget, you can find us on Magic of the Mouse Radio now every Monday, Wednesdays, Fridays at 5, noon on Sundays for some more fun. The music of the We Like Theme Parks podcast was composed and provided by Mike Treblecock. You can check him out at
MikeTreblecockMusic.com.
Yeah, that together was awesome. Yes. A big thank you again to Jackie and for Mark and Miriam and myself. That's all, folks. We'll see you real soon. Why? Because we like you. And
We like theme parks.
This is a slow one. We're tired.
Oh, boy. Chris fell asleep on the microphone.
All right, friends. We'll see you in the next one. Bye-bye.